When you hear the word powerful, who or what comes to mind? When you hear the word powerful, take a moment and envision in your mind what you see. Maybe you see President Obama. Some may see Oprah. Some might see military might. Very often when we visualize or call something powerful, it is something big and strong and mighty with great influence. I remember one of the sayings of my mother, who was an elementary school librarian for about 30 years of her career. And I can't recall the context of when she said this. Either I or someone else had been talking about something in the politics of how schools are run. And Mother made the comment, "Do you know who the most important person to know at a school is? The most important person is not the principal. The most important person is not the head of the PTA or anyone like that. The most important person for me to know at any school is the janitor. The most important person to know is the janitor or the custodian." Someone who we may not typically think of as being powerful or important. There is great wisdom in that saying of my mother. Anyone here seen the movie Men in Black? It is one of my faves. There are movies that I can just watch over and over and over again. There may be a spoiler alert coming along if you haven't seen it, but it's been out for ages, so I'm not going to worry about that. Men in Black is the story of this fictitious, with air quotes, agency that monitors alien activity on the planet Earth. That means aliens from outer space activity on the planet Earth. And the men in black are those sort of nameless, invisible people that come by and sort of clean up if there's an alien mess. Now, the tension at the heart of the first Men in Black movie, there have been The tension at the heart of the first Men in Black movie, great comedy, fantastic. One alien on the planet Earth had been entrusted with the guardianship of an important galaxy. And that alien had been killed by another alien who wanted to steal that galaxy. And the galaxy that had been entrusted to this alien was the source of the greatest subatomic power in the universe. That's why it was under threat of being stolen. Another alien race then was demanding that the galaxy be surrendered to them so that the Earth wouldn't be destroyed, because if they didn't get it back, they were going to destroy the Earth. Now, the men in black didn't know what galaxy they were talking about, where it was located. It was on Orion's belt, was the only clue that they got. So agents J and K go to interrogate an alien informant. Now, if you remember the movie, you'll remember that alien is named Frank, and Frank is a talking pug, dog. That's very Portland appropriate, probably the pug capital of the world, by the way. I've learned that since I've been in Portland. So they interrogate Frank, and after some rather aggressive interrogation, Frank the pug surrenders the truth that the galaxy is here. And they were like, "What do you mean, here? A galaxy is hundreds of millions of stars and planets. How is it here?" And Frank comments, "You humans, when are you going to learn that size doesn't matter? Just because something's important doesn't mean it's not very, very small." How small? Tiny, like the size of a marble or a jewel. The galaxy, it turns out, spoiler alert, is hidden in a marble-sized jewel on the collar of a pet cat. We so easily overlook the power of things that we consider insignificant, unimportant, small. Maybe that is why I love that second reading, Small Blessings, by Dan Blaert. with the words of a poet, with the eyes of a mystic, we must add. He draws our attention to the rich spiritual meaning in the smallest of things, from a caterpillar to a wasp to a flower, a rabbit, the blessed power within the quietest, even the hidden small things. That is the place that we probably look last for something powerful, in a small thing. Yet, according to the parables that we hear this morning from the Gospel according to Matthew, that is apparently exactly where we should expect to find the greatest power, at least if we're looking to find the power of God. That was also the last place the people of first century Palestine were probably looking to see the power and the presence and the kingdom of God. You know, there are dozens and dozens of sayings and examples about the realm of God, the so-called kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. It was, in fact, the main theme of the teaching and preaching ministry of Jesus. So, it's important that we pause to remember we actually miss the mark if we think that these teachings about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, were a picture of a blissful afterlife. He wasn't just talking about life in the hereafter. He was teaching about living a different reality in the here and the now. And he went so far to say that that new reality, the reign of God, the revelation of God's power and presence and the order that God wants in the world was already arriving, was already there. Elsewhere, he taught, it was among and within you already. God's kingdom has already shown up. Really? Is that so? Well, those in first century Palestine or 21st century America, well, our religious leaders are still corrupt. Our political empire is still crushing with troops and taxes. It sure seems like nothing much has changed, Jesus. So where is this powerful new kingdom? It didn't, and it won't come with trumpet blasts, with legions of foot soldiers, with the, quote, shock and awe of the biggest bombs. It will not come with the passage of a law, not even with a vote of the majority. It's like this, says Jesus. Notice what happens with a tiny mustard seed, with a simple yeast in dough, so small and powerful. Oh, and when you find it, maybe when you stumble upon it like a hidden treasure, or maybe after you've searched in earnest for it like a pearl, you can't help but give your all to be part of it. God's power and presence overlooked so easily because it is so small. Something small, singular, hidden, making all the difference. Small, easy to overlook, God's power and presence in the world. It makes me wonder if this is the image of God's power and presence and reign in the world. Then might that also be the power and presence of God in us? Is that what it looks like in us? I'm too small and too powerless. Well, that may be exactly where God is working. The problems of our world seem so overwhelming, and our apparent inability to make any difference seems so small in comparison. The power that we possess seems so small in comparison. It is really easy to give up with resignation and give in to apathy. Or we might make some kind of vague promise that, you know, when I'm able to, I will fill in the blank. Or when I can afford to do fill in the blank, that's when I will make a difference. Mother Teresa of Calcutta has a famous oft-quoted saying, "We can do no great things, only small things with great love." We can do no great things, only small things with great love. Don't wait until you think you might someday do something great. Do something small now and see what the power and presence of God will do. Don't wait to be great someday. Do it now, something small. You may not be able to bring peace in the Middle East, which, as we desperately know, needs it. You may not be able to bring peace to the Middle East, but are you going to make peace with your neighbor that annoys you all the time? That would be a pretty good start. How about making peace with that coworker? You may not be able to personally go and bring back kidnapped girls in Nigeria, but you can write a letter. Better yet, you can make sure the women and the girls in your life are safely cared for and well educated. That's a start, and that's something you can do. Kiss your partner after you've made up from that argument. Compliment your child. Someone just did a kiss right then. I won't say who, but they did. I assume that's your partner, at least a good friend. Okay. Pray for the person next to you. Pay for the groceries of the person behind you in line at the supermarket. You don't have to feed the world. Feed someone. Dorothy Day, who was one of the co-founders of the Catholic Workers Movement, said, "People ask us, what is the use of your small effort?" She said, "They cannot see that we lay one brick at a time, we take one step at a time. A pebble cast into a pond causes ripples that spread in all directions. Each one of our thoughts, words, and deeds is like that." Anyone here remember a really excellent sermon preached several months ago? Not by me. An excellent sermon by Kathy Reiter a number of months ago. Great insight in that sermon was, you know, she needn't be a boulder, not even a stone. A stone was even a little bit too big, but she could get behind being a pebble. The pebble, I can do that. I can do that. Be a pebble. Go smaller. Be a mustard seed. Go even smaller. Be a grain of yeast. That is all that God needs to start a whole new world. Please pray with me. God, sometimes we ache and yearn to be your great, powerful, transformative people. We will never get there if we do not realize we are your small people already, and that is in whom your power resides. God, continue to wake us up to become the people you would have us be, to touch the lives you would have us touch, to create the world for which you yearn and ache. In your holy name we pray. Amen.